listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
All right, I've been teasing you long enough. So here's what happened with the Kathy Griffin thing. You know, she was doing a junket, a press junket for her book. And they set up these interviews in 10-minute slots. And I always ask for the latest one, especially if they're doing morning things, because, because I work so late at night and I like to sleep in the morning if possible. And also, especially with Kathy Griffin, I figured if I get the last one and it's going well, she'll hang with me, which is exactly what happened. So I got her on the line and I started explaining to her that, all right, we're going to tape this and it's going to air tonight on my show on Air America Radio. And here's what she said.
I'm ready to take on you leftist bastards.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Well, everything I say will be a joke. Don't take anything I say seriously.
Okay, well, Kathy Griffin, I read your book in about a day and a half. And I absolutely loved...
No way, you really read it?
I really read the whole thing. And can I tell you
something? Oh, my gosh.
You and I are kindred spirits. First of all, November 4th, 1959, though, I'm a year older than you.
That's weird because I was born in 1978. are you buying that for even 1 second?
No, because I read your book.
No.
Yeah.
Darn it.
And
are you buying that because the book is called Official Book Club Selection that it has been chosen by Oprah personally for her book club?
Well, let me tell you something. It really should, because you have it all covered in
this
book. You have the humor, which is your trademark. You have the, you know, the deep, dark family secrets, which I'm sure weren't.
Oh, yeah.
That's not easy for a funny person to write about, but you did.
Well, you know what? I really feel that, you know, I do the Bravo show and I do my specials and I tour all the time. And, you know, I'm coming to D.C. in January and Seattle and I love touring all the time and all that stuff. But I thought, you know, if I'm going to write this book and people are going to put down their hard-earned money for it, then they should get something that isn't on the D-list show, isn't in, you know, my stand-up specials and stuff. And, you know, when people were saying, what the heck could you have to put in a book that we don't already know, I thought to myself, well, my brother was a pedophile, and I think it's about time I talked about it, because I think that that happens in more families than, you know, we want to admit. And I had a pretty difficult divorce, and I had many women coming up to me after they read the book saying, my husband stole money from me, or my boyfriend stole money from me. And I thought, you know, it's going to have to be one of those with lots of humor, but then quite a bit of dirty laundry as well.
And you put it all together beautifully. It wasn't like, okay, now we go to the serious part, and now here's the funny part. It's really a good snapshot of your life, and I think it's perfect for Oprah. So what the hell is she doing with Sarah Palin on her show?
Well, she's jealous of me. And also, I might actually go on the Oprah show and be honest. Now, you've got to be loving the Palin interview, because I must have watched it 4 times.
Really?
And because as a serious artist, look, this was like a free box of material between Sarah Palin and Carrie Prejean. And by the way, I would like to tell you that I think that you're being inappropriate, and I'm about to walk off your show, so let's
okay,
get
well,
that out of the way.
You can take the microphone off,
and
but don't
Andre
leave.
Andre Agassi with his meth addiction, which, you know, I wrote about Andre Agassi in my book, and I was sort of nervous about writing about conversation that I'd had with him about him hating tennis. Little did I know, he was doing meth.
Right.
So, you know, I really was kind of easy on the guy now that I think about it, although there is actually an index at the end of my book, Official Book Club Selection, and I've had several celebrities admit right to my face that they just went right to the index to see if I was talking smack about them.
That's so funny. And by the way, I did notice that you have an index and Sarah doesn't.
Well, it's reader friendly. And if you are, say, oh, I don't know, Tyra Banks, who I'm sure never misses this show, by the way,
uh-huh,
then you can just look yourself up in the index and see what page you're on and how I refer to you. And so, you know what? Everybody goes down in this book, mostly myself. But I just thought, you know, it's the old thing. If you're going to do it, do it. And at this point, you're pretty much the only person who's still talking to me after this book.
Wow. Well, because I'm not in it yet. Maybe the next one.
Right. You might want to check the index of the next one.
Okay.
But look, it's all fodder. Anything can happen at any time. And, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the big story. I am like Christiane Amanpour, except I'm doing much more important work about Levi Johnston.
Now, speaking of, you know, again, you watched the Sarah Oprah interview five times, four. And she said that he'd be invited for Thanksgiving dinner.
So, you know that I was dressed and ready to go as Levi's date. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll go ahead and say fiance. And I was ready to have a Wasilla Thanksgiving. But if you notice, on Oprah, she kind of amended her invite to Levi and me to Aunt Katie's in Washington.
Yes.
Who the heck is Aunt Katie in Washington?
You know, a lot of people are asking the very same question, because I guess
you know, when Oprah leaked that clip and we hear Oprah saying, "Is Levi invited for Thanksgiving?" And then she says very uncomfortably and nervously, you know, that's an interesting question. And she says that she prays for him, which I love when the Christians always go to that. And then, of course, that he's invited. But then I thought it was interesting when Oprah released that clip, and, you know, I'm saying this about Oprah because we're very close.
Yes.
But she left out the part that really the invite was to this mysterious Aunt Katie's in Washington. And I don't know if that means Washington State or Washington, D.C., or if maybe there's just a gated community named Washington, Alaska somewhere. I mean, I thought it was the non-invite.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, but I want to focus in on Levi for a moment here, because you and he have a thing. He was your date for the Teen Choice Awards, and then you went on. Larry King had him on when
I talked to him yesterday.
Really? Now, I understand the full frontal thing is not so full.
No, I don't think Levi should show his full Johnston.
No.
I think that there's plenty of Johnston to go around. And, you know, he's been working out, and what's funny is he's actually been dieting like he is a gay man. And I find that my gays find him attractive. And so my relationship with Levi is a win-win for everyone. It's for him, I think it's a middle finger at Sarah Palin, which is, believe me, what drives him and what wakes him up every morning is, how can I flip off Sarah Palin in any way, shape, or form, which I love because I think she's so full of it. And I loved him watching Sarah Palin and then openly just saying that she's full of SH, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say SH double hockey stick, but that doesn't even make sense.
No, anyway, not at all.
I'm kind of impressed by this kid who really is fearless. I mean, for better or worse, you can say what you want about him, but this is a guy that is not afraid of the RNC. He's not afraid of the Palin dynasty. He's not afraid of the Palin followers who have threatened his life, and he has bodyguards, and yet he will not stop smack talking. And like any good witness to a crime, you have to admit he has a certain credibility because his story has never changed. So you can make fun of him all day long for doing this or that, or, you know, selling out. But the truth of the matter is, he's got dirt on her. She's scared to death of him. And his story has never changed. So I think he kind of accidentally has some real street cred.
Right. Now, Kathy, you spent some good, you know, quality one-on-one time with him. He says he's got more dirt on her that he hasn't divulged yet. Did he tell you?
He does. He has told me, yes.
Really?
Absolutely. And I will absolutely not disclose it, because I think that he needs to keep it, because I think at this moment, for some reason, they haven't really come after him legally. But, you know, there's a lot of things that he says about Sarah Palin that she kind of gives the non-denial.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when he told me and then later on told Vanity Fair that she refers to her special needs baby, Trig, as her retard, and then would say repeatedly, "Someone hand me my retarded baby." If you notice the quote, and God knows I combed over it several hundred times, she never says, "Of course I didn't say that." Look, if that was me, if someone accused me of that, I would say, not only is it untrue, but prove it. In this world of cell phone cameras, you better have it on tape, and you better not say something like that about me unless you can back it up. And if I said it the way I said, the way that you said I said it, there were family members there, and I defy you to find one single person in the family hanging out the house on this planet that can back you up. And she never said that.
Right.
Meaning, she never really said, "It's completely untrue." You know, she did a lot of, how dare he say that? But you know what? It's what I call the non-denial denial.
Yeah, and she's full of it, literally. Kathy Griffin
she's
is with
full
us.
Of it. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I'm now on my whole Levi kick when I'm really supposed to be selling books. Please buy my book, Official Book Club Selection. But anyway, Levi's fascinating, and he's hot, and I'm happy to see him show as much of his Johnston as he is comfortable with.
Yes. Now, I'm not going to ask, you know, what you did after the date, but I'm looking through your book, and there's sort of an incestuous thing in here, not dealing with your family stuff, but there's a photo of you in bed with John King. Now, he's the guy who's just taking over for Lou Dobbs. Did you know this was going to happen? And you're just sort of angling for a guest shot again?
The thing about, yes, Official Book Club Selection was very much ahead of the curve. And that is why I'm proud to say that it was number one on the New York Times bestseller list, which is kind of unbelievable to me, but it is a fact, believe it or not. And in the book, you know, I wrote about Andre Agassi having no idea that I was sort of, you know, I was saying something that I thought was so out there, and in fact, he, of course, went on to say much more shocking things. But, you know, let's face it, I scooped Agassi on himself. And then one thing that I love about being on the D-list is, unlike an A-lister where your every move is photographed, the truth is I'm really in kind of the perfect position because I'm on the D-list. I'm kind of in the celebrity world, but I'm not really in it. And because of that, I get to have these odd, unexpected friendships. And one of them is I had a fantastic night with John King and his wife, White House correspondent Dana Bash, and I'm friends with them. And so I was over at their place watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. So, you know, just getting weirder. And then John King was bragging about his, what I call his fake Emmy, because my Emmys are real and I consider his to be fake. And so I said, we should take a picture of us in bed holding your Emmy and send it to Anderson Cooper. And, you know, I just think that that's something an A-lister would never do, and I'm very proud of that moment. And so I put a picture of myself in bed with John King holding his Emmy and got his wife's approval. And I thought, you know what, when you get this book, there's going to be some surprises. I'll bet you didn't think you were going to see a picture of me basically in the sack with John King. But you know what? That's how I roll. Deal with it.
There you go. And now John King is taking over the Lou Dobbs time slot, the Lou Dobbs with an $8 million severance check.
Boy, good work if you can get it, right?
No kidding. Now, speaking of good work, Kathy Griffin, I know I'm keeping you longer than I should, but I just have to do this.
I love it.
Cool. You are going to be on Law & Order SVU?
What about that? Although, you know, my mother calls it Law & Order SUV.
Yes.
Because she apparently thinks it's a gritty crime drama about a, you know, Jeep Cherokee.
Right.
But yes, I was hosting the Schmemmies, which I lovingly refer to as the Schmemmies, and they are the Creative Arts Emmys. And they're the Emmys that are held a week before the real Emmys. So, of course, being on the D-list, I never hosted the real Emmys, but I hosted the Creative Arts Emmys. And, in fact, the guy who is the showrunner for Law & Order SVU, Neil Baer, came up to me and said, I want to write an episode for you, and I want you to be nominated for an Emmy next year. And I said, oh, people say the funniest things. And then he really did. And so, yes, I'm going to go to New York, and I'm going to film an episode of Law & Order SVU, and I'm playing a lesbian activist, which I think is great because the writer, Neil Baer, described it to me as a lesbian Al Sharpton, which I've always seen myself as. And so I get to do some serious acting and spend time in New York with real actors, and I have to say it's a very A-list moment for me.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it. And My Life on the D-List coming back for yet another season.
My Life on the D-List coming back for another season. I love it. I've got more things on the back burner that you can imagine, more hijinks, more places to get kicked out of, and more people to offend. And, you know, let's see who's even talking to me after this book came out, or let's see who ends up in the next book. But please, please get Official Book Club Selection. I'm begging you. I'm so flattered that you read it, honestly, because I do all these interviews, and most people haven't read the book or don't know the title, and I'm just sort of trying to explain what the book is. So I really, really appreciate that you actually read it.
Thank you very much. I do a lot of interviews for this show, honestly, because I'm on so late at night, and most people don't want to, you know, come on that late. So I pre-tape interviews to play during the show, and then I talk about them after they're done.
I'm a night owl, believe me.
Really?
I am your demographic.
Oh, cool. Well, anytime you want to come on, I'll give you my info. I'd love to, anytime. But anyway, so I
would love to, because I, of course, am a fellow leftist bastard communist, or whatever your critics would possibly call your channel. But I think you should know that yesterday, for the first time, I met Ann Coulter, and I kept calling her Miss Prejean. Well, but you know why? Because she was defending Sarah Palin, of course, but she kept saying that it was like she was quoting Carrie Prejean, and she kept saying how Sarah Palin is taking all this heat only because she's a hot chick conservative. And I thought it was interesting that Ann Coulter, of all people, would be kind of playing the victim card about being, well, a hot chick, period, much less a hot chick conservative. And I thought, well, you guys have your own news channel and everything, which has, I think, the highest viewership out of all of them. So I'm not quite buying the victim card. But it was funny when she was actually saying pretty much the same exact things that Carrie Prejean was saying to Larry King until she deemed him inappropriate.
Right. Well,
yeah. So it did give me a little pleasure to call Ann Coulter Miss Prejean three times.
I love that. That's so funny.
That was fun.
I bet it was. I see you get to do these things. Anyway, so I started reading the book, and when I do these interviews, you know, I'll generally get a few chapters in, and then I run out of time. But I started reading it on a Friday night, and by Sunday afternoon, it was done, and I wanted more. Did you write?
You're a doll.
I loved it. Official book club selection, and it should be an Oprah. If you're listening, this book has everything in it that she wants for her book club. So, and I love.
Well, what's funny is, I mean, I love to make fun of Oprah, but you know, it really is the story. I mean, I'm a woman, 49 years old, certainly in a male-dominated field. I mean, you almost can't get more male-dominated than stand-up comedy. And you know, I think that there's a lot in this book that it really is relatable to just anybody who's ever struggled or anyone who's ever felt like they were on the D list in their office or at their family reunion or any situation. But yeah, it's, you know, it's all coming out in the wash in this thing. And it's a daily struggle. I mean, I was going to do this show on ABC and then it got canceled 2 weeks before it even aired once. I mean, no matter what I do, the Emmys are fantastic and they define me and I feel that they're more important than children. And yet still I'm on a show that got canceled two weeks before it started. So I'm always struggling, always trying to get out there. And I also feel persecuted because I'm a beautiful female conservative.
Damn straight.
Are you not buying that for 1 second? I thought maybe I could get more people to buy the book that way.
That works because they're the ones on top of the bestseller.
I'm a commie lefty. I say I'm so far to the left I'm a Sandinista. That's my line. But look, I'm happy to offend anybody at any time. So please come see me live. That's where the fur flies. I have my new holiday CD, Sucking It for the Holidays, hoping that this is the best Kwanzaa ever. And I'm very, very thrilled and flattered that you read the book. I really appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure, and thank you for writing it. And I've seen you live numerous times. I'm down here in South Florida. And I saw you the last couple of times.
Oh, I've been forward a lot. Come
I know.
See me again when I'm back.
I absolutely will. And I saw you the last time at the Hard Rock, and I see you each time you're here. My boyfriend and I are big fans. So this is
Hard Rock where Gloria Estefan was in the audience.
Was she?
What about that?
Oh, very cool. Yes,
Gloria Estefan was there, and my idol Susie Orman, who I think Susie Orman would be the only person I would be comfortable with taking over for President Obama.
Why is that?
I am looking for the Obama-Orman ticket 2012.
Really?
Yeah, I want Susie Orman to co-run the country. You know how Dick Cheney really ran the country with Bush?
Yeah.
I want Obama, who I love and worship, but I want Susie Orman just in the cabinet. Is that wrong? I think that the whole country should go through the Can I Afford It segment of her show. And I just dig her.
So, should she maybe
when I bash on Sarah Palin, my mom gets mad at me and she says I'm being anti-woman. And I say, I'm not anti-woman. I just can't go with Sarah Palin because she's a moron. Not because she's a woman. She happens to be a moron regardless of her gender.
I love it. That's the quote of the day. Kathy Griffin, what a pleasure. And my fellow November 4th birthday celebrant will have to, you know, 50 wasn't too hard. So, you know,
well, good.
I'm a year ahead of you.
that a good fattening cake can't conquer, I say.
You got that right. What a pleasure. I look forward to meeting you in person. And again, open invitation. Anytime you're up late at night, come on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. I'll take you up on that.
All right. And Oprah, official book club selection, a memoir according to Kathy Griffin.
Get on, Oprah.
Damn right. Thank you so much,
right,
Kathy. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I will see you.
That was really, really a treat. And I wasn't just sucking up to her. Okay, I know I was sucking up to her a little bit, but only because it was all true. I mean, I wouldn't have done the suck up if I was lying. I wouldn't have lied. I wouldn't have done the interview. The book was really enjoyable. And Oprah should have her on and should do the official book club selection of official book club selection. The only thing that I was trying to get in there at the end was, Susie Orman maybe should take over for Tim Geithner. Get him the hell out of there. And let's get some good, smart women in there. All right. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for this Tuesday night.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.